the following program contains graphic material, including offensive language. Viewer discretion is advised.
Without freedom of the press, no democratic form of government could exist.
We switch you now to London.
I'm standing on a rooftop, looking out over London.
Good night, and good luck.
Good evening from our CBS newsroom in New York.
NBC presents Chet Huntley and David Brinkley.
From ABC, this is World News Tonight. With Peter Jennings in London, Max Robinson in Chicago, and from our desk in Washington, Frank Reynolds.
Good evening. This historic legislation, the telecommunications law, will create many, many high-wage jobs. Will create opportunity and better lives for all Americans.
When the press is free, the people of a country are free. When the press is not free, the people of a country are in danger of slavery.
Keeping you informed with information, news, and the views of people making the news. It's the Nicole Sandler Show on NicoleSandler.com and the Progressive Voices Network.
Folks, from Georgia all the way up to Virginia, the Atlantic seaboard is bracing for Hurricane Florence. It's a monster storm, currently a Category 4, and everyone in its path should get out of there, especially if you're related to me. But you probably won't, because my family is impossible. At least go to my house. That's why I bought the generator. President Trump has been hard at work, both preparing for the hurricane and bragging about how good he is at hurricanes.
We got A pluses for our recent hurricane work in Texas and Florida, and an unappreciated great job in Puerto Rico, even though an inaccessible island.
Just hold up right there. I'd like to point out that we knew it was an island before the storm hit. It wasn't a surprise. What do you mean by inaccessible? People go there for spring break. It's not that island where they're hiding King Kong. But Trump really believes all this. Listen to what he said yesterday.
I think in a certain way, the best job we did was Puerto Rico, but nobody would understand that.
Yes, it is. It is hard to understand that. It's just, like, it's hard to understand how, in a certain way, the Hindenburg crash was one of aviation's most spectacular landings. So, I just want to say, if you're not evacuating the coast of the Carolinas, don't worry. Donald Trump is bragging he's prepared to make you the next Puerto Rico. Let's take a moment to check in with the storm that Donald Trump is afraid of in tonight's Stormy Watch. Stormy Daniels and her lawyer, Michael Avenatti, were on Fuel View today on The View. And Stormy shot back at Rudy Giuliani, who criticized her looks earlier this year.
He looks like Toad from Mr. Toad's Wild Ride. And he's going to talk about how I look?
Well, anyway, well done, Stormy. And if you're looking for Disney rides to compare Donald Trump with, rumor has it it's Splash Mountain and It's a Small World. And she had a big announcement.
I have a book coming out October 2nd.
And I'm sure she'll send the president a copy. But, sir, wait for the paperback before you get spanked with it.
Ah. Well, since there's a double storm watch going on, as it were, I thought we would check in with Boca Brittany Summers and her stormy song.
You were the porno lady who made sex videos, spreading your lips and your legs. Along comes an orange-colored lame dumbass clown that somehow becomes president one day. That's when you got paid. Stormy, oh Stormy,
Tootsie Roll that made sex so boring that day. And you came right away. Oh, Stormy. Oh, Stormy. Think back that troubled lake. Think back that troubled lake. Oh, Stormy.
The wonderful Boca Brittany Summers with her rendition of Stormy in honor of both Florence and Stormy Daniels, who has a book coming out October 2nd. So, people in the chat room are telling me there's an audio loop going on. There's something else playing. Is that really happening? Because I'm not hearing it on this end and nothing else is going out over. So someone in the chat, okay, audio stream player like TuneIn. Okay. Oh, all right. So it's on your end. No, storm, thank goodness. There is no storm hitting us here in Florida. Usually when there's a hurricane warning, it's us here who has to run. We just passed the year anniversary of Irma and, yes. And thank goodness. I feel sorry for the people in the Carolinas and even Georgia who looks like they may get hit with some of this torrential rain. But I'm glad it's not us here in Florida for once. We get it's on YouTube only. That doesn't make any sense. It's got to be on you guys and talking to the people in the chat room who are getting double audio. I only have what's going out here. I don't have anything feeding back or anything. So, but it seems like it's more than one of you. I'm so confused, and I hate it when I get confused. Hopefully everybody's hearing. Okay. Yes, Stormy has a book coming out October 2nd. So just about the time we'll be done reading. Still something is overlapping on YouTube. Wow. That's weird. Okay. I don't know how. Let's see. Let me look on my, YouTubers are also saying the same thing. There's something going on. Huh. What else could possibly be playing on YouTube? You guys, I don't know what the answer is. Because there's nothing else going out. But now I'm looking at the YouTube chat room and there's some music or something playing at the same time. Don't know. I don't know. There is music blasting over my entire show. YouTube, let's see. Well, I recommend everyone switch over to audio only because I have no idea where this could be coming from. Everybody in YouTube, I know this is great radio, isn't it? Are you all hearing something else in the background? I don't know why. I being here alone and no way I actually can sort of bring up the, let's see what happens if I unmute this, isn't it? Oh, all hearing something else in the background? I don't know why. Being, all right. So that is definitely music playing over the YouTube feed. And I have no idea where it's coming from. It's nowhere on my computer. Isn't that weird? Nothing else is playing anything. And that is weird. I don't know what to tell you guys. YouTubers, today would be a good day to come over to NicoleSandler.com/listen-live. And you can hear the audio only feed there. I don't know what that music is. I don't know where it's coming from. It's not, I don't see it anywhere on my computer, on any of my computers. There's nothing else playing. So for today, I'm going to say, turn down the sound on YouTube if you want to keep watching my emotions, my expressions of disbelief. You can. But I have no way to kill that extra audio going out over YouTube. I have no idea where it's coming from. The gremlins are getting us today. So here, I'm going to write a note in the chat room. Come to NicoleSandler.com/listen live to hear the audio only feed. Sorry about the music. I have no idea where it's coming from, but only affecting YouTube. Okay. So that's my role as producer. YouTubers, I'm really, really sorry. Come on over to NicoleSandler.com and you'll be able to hear it without that music playing. I wish I knew where it was coming from. I've got nothing open. So I'll tell you what, well, I can keep going like this, but that's just really not entertaining. So I'll tell you what, we do have Howie Klein coming up because it's Thursday. I can tell this is going to be one of those days. Why don't we just launch into what's news? And YouTubers, come over to NicoleSandler.com and listen to the audio stream there, okay? All right.
I read the news today, oh boy.
It's time for Nicole Sandler's What's News from NicoleSandler.com and the Progressive Voices Network.
Well, Hurricane Florence has been downgraded to a Category 2 storm, but is still considered an extremely dangerous weather event that could bring catastrophic flooding to the region and dump as much as 40 inches of rain across the Carolinas.
Going down to a Category 2 status means absolutely nothing. The rain is still going to be the same. More rain in a three-day period than Washington, D.C. picks up all year. The surge is still going to be the same. We're still going to have massive waves crashing on shore and well inland. The only thing coming down to a Category 2 means, there's two things. The winds are not going to be as strong. However, the winds, this was never about the winds. It's always been about water, water, water. The other thing that we can take away from this, going down to a 2 right now, the only other factor is, okay, Hazel still will be the strongest to ever hit North Carolina. All right? The record books remain the same. Hugo will always be the strongest in the last 29 years. We don't want to break those records anyway. We're only 1 mile per hour off from Category 3. This is the latest track. The National Hurricane Center wants to bring it in a little early now, 8 in the morning, as a Category 2. Remember, this could still get to 3. Let me back up just a moment.
Okay.
Hurricane Katrina hit New Orleans as a Category 3.
Yep.
We're just about there. When it came out of the Gulf, it was a Category 5. The water underneath Katrina created, even though it made landfall as a 3, a record 28-foot storm surge. Early this morning, a wave height reported in that northeastern quadrant was 83 feet. That staggers the imagination. All right? So the wall of water is still underneath this storm. The surge is going to be the same. The threat for loss of life and loss of property does not change. So do not pay attention to these numbers. It never was about that. It was about where the storm has come from, how strong it is, the vulnerable coastline, and the massive slowdown. That has not changed. So the rainfall rates are going to be staggering, a couple of inches an hour for several days. We could see over 10 inches a day for a couple of days. So that 40-inch total is going to be met in many locations. So the threat for loss of life from flooding, from storm surge, is still with us.
CBS News and other media outlets reported that an airport runway on Puerto Rico was carpeted with 20,000 pallets of bottled water, now all contaminated, stacked under blue tarps. The water never made it to hurricane survivors when many had been forced to resort last year to drinking out of contaminated pipes and worse. Social media exploded with finger pointing and heated debates about who was to blame.
This all started actually yesterday when a member of the local law enforcement posted a picture on social media out of frustration saying, "Can you believe this?" Another example of sort of the failed response. And we went and it was not hard to find some 20,000 pallets of bottled water by our back of the envelope math. That's about 38 million bottles of water, or 10 for every resident of Puerto Rico or so, just sitting there baking in the sun. Apparently, it's the FEMA started delivering to that airstrip back in the fall, October or November or so. They didn't start distributing it until May, and then some residents complained of a foul odor and taste, unsure whether it came that way or it got that way after sitting in the sun for months in the heat down there. But then that prompted more water testing, And it's just been a sort of a perfect storm of logistical nightmares. And this is such a glaring example of how emergency management is so much about logistics. And I couldn't help think back to all the folks I saw a month after the storm drinking rainwater, drinking creek water, and all the very solid, earnest National Guardsmen and FEMA workers who brought that water down here, thinking that they were going to save lives and help lives. But a lesson unlearned, regardless of the president's A-plus grade yesterday.
Yeah, regardless, it's A-plus grade that he gave himself. Just as Florence is getting ready to hit, Brock Long, the chief disaster official for the hurricane and administrator of FEMA, is under investigation for alleged misuse of official cars. What is it with people in the Trump administration? Do they not understand what the parameters are? Politico is reporting that the Department of Homeland Security Inspector General is looking into accusations that Brock Long misused government vehicles during his six-hour commutes to North Carolina from Washington. If found to have wrongly used taxpayers' cash for his travel, he would be just the latest of current and former top Trump administration officials to fall afoul of the rules. The Inspector General is investigating whether Long misused government resources and personnel on trips back home to Hickory, North Carolina on weekends, according to two unnamed officials. One of the vehicles, a black Suburban, was reportedly involved in an accident, sparking the Inspector General's interest. Unbelievable. In the midst of all of that, Trump is lashing out against the new death toll from Maria in Puerto Rico. Early this morning, he tweeted, 3,000 people. I got to get the voice down. And it helps if I do the hands. 3,000 people did not die in the two hurricanes that hit Puerto Rico. When I left the island after the storm had hit, they had anywhere from 6 to 18 deaths. As time went by, it did not go up by much. Then a long time later, they started to report really large numbers, like 3,000. This was done by the Democrats in order to make me look as bad as possible when I was successfully raising billions of dollars to help rebuild Puerto Rico. If a person died for any reason, like old age, just add them onto the list. Bad politics. I love Puerto Rico. I'm just giving you a moment to let that sink in. Yes, he really tweeted all that. On CNN this morning, Allison Camerota pushed back.
Well, I think we need to deal with the facts, which is that these 2,975 people did not die of old age.
Nope.
That is not true.
Nope.
That is not true. They did not die of old age. They died of neglect.
Yep.
And they would still be alive today if they had had electricity, if they had been able to get their medicine, if they had been able to get water.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the people that are counted. And by the way, if the federal government cares that much, they shouldn't have left it to all the journalists and universities to just have to go there and look into this, which is what ended up happening because the federal government didn't do an exact count.
Yep. And Puerto Rico is still in the line of some of these storms that are out beyond Florence. Keeping our fingers crossed for them. Senate Republican leaders are eyeing an end of September vote on Brett Kavanaugh, Trump's nominee to the Supreme Court. Kavanaugh last night released his 263 pages of written responses to more than 1,000 written questions from Democrats. MSNBC's Rachel Maddow explains that one line of questioning had to do with Kavanaugh's financing and the possibility that he has a gambling problem.
But another big line of inquiry in those questions from the Democrats in the Senate Judiciary Committee was about unexplained swings in Brett Kavanaugh's finances, which led a couple of senators to ask him very pointed questions about gambling and debts. These questions are from Senator Sheldon Whitehouse. He asked Kavanaugh about a sudden and unexplained uptick in his finances, in particularly one bank account that increased significantly in value between 2008 and 2009 with no explanation in his finances of why that happened. Where did that money come from? Senator Whitehouse also asked Kavanaugh about a longstanding debt Kavanaugh had racked up to $200,000 in debt that he'd had for years that suddenly disappeared around the same time that President Trump nominated him to the Supreme Court in 2018. Where did that longstanding debt go after all those years and why? Those questions about the rather mysterious ebb and flow of Judge Kavanaugh's finances ended up being, for Senator Whitehouse, a wind-up to this line of questioning about Brett Kavanaugh's potential history with gambling. Question 21, quote, have you ever received a Form W-2G reporting gambling earnings? Question 22, have you ever reported a gambling loss to the IRS? From there, Senator Whitehouse's questions start to seem like a heat-seeking missile. Quote, have you ever gambled or accrued gambling debt in the state of New Jersey? Why pick on New Jersey? Have you ever had debt discharged by a creditor for losses incurred in the state of New Jersey? Question 23E, have you ever sought treatment for a gambling addiction? Have you ever sought treatment for a gambling addiction? Senator Whitehouse was not the only senator pulling on this thread. Senator Richard Blumenthal of Connecticut also asked Brett Kavanaugh, have you ever incurred any debt worth over $5,000 from gambling? Has anyone paid off any of your debts in the last 10 years? Well, tonight, as I said, we have just received, we're starting to go through Brett Kavanaugh's responses. I will tell you on these debt and financial questions, to all of them, he gives the same answer. And his answer is, please see my response to question 11. His response to question 11 is very long. He gives a lengthy explanation of his finances, including how expensive it is to maintain an old house. I'll read you a little piece of that. He says, I truthfully provided financial information in conjunction with this nomination process and my service in the judicial and executive branches. Since I graduated from law school, I've worked in public service for 25 of those 28 years. For most of my wife's years of paid employment, she likewise has been a federal, state, or local government worker. During that time, I filed regular financial disclosure reports as required by law. The federal government's required disclosure reports list broad ranges for one's assets and debt as of one day or period in time. As of this time, my wife and I have no debts other than our home mortgage. We have the following assets, and then he lists a house minus the mortgage, a bank account, a car that we own, a car that we lease. He also says, quote, I have not had gambling debts.
Sure.
Or participated in fantasy leagues.
Right.
So, again, we are still pouring through this 263 pages of answers from Brett Kavanaugh that we just received. This is 263 pages to answer 1,200 questions.
There's a whole lot of fishy stuff going around about Kavanaugh. There's that letter that a member of the House had gotten and about Kavanaugh that was turned over to Dianne Feinstein, who will not share it with anybody else in the Senate or on the Judiciary Committee. Apparently, she has turned it over to the FBI, but some are saying it has something to do with the Me Too movement and Kavanaugh. All I know is that they can't hold this vote yet. And sure enough, the Senate Judiciary Committee delayed a vote on Kavanaugh now until September 20th. That's only a week. Democrats have complained about the confirmation process and criticized a rush to judgment. Let's see how much longer they can push this thing off, because there are still too many unanswered questions. Jeff Fager, the executive producer of 60 Minutes, is leaving the show immediately. This comes just days after CBS chief Les Moonves departed the network amid sexual misconduct allegations. And finally, New Yorkers go to the polls today for their second primary day. This one, the first one dealt with federal offices, the Senate and Congress and the like. This one deals with statewide offices, governor, lieutenant governor, attorney general, and comptroller, plus all 63 seats in the state Senate and all 150 seats in the state assembly are up for election. New York City is also voting for city civil court judges. Of course, the big races we're watching are the governor's matchup between Andrew Cuomo and Cynthia Nixon, and what has come down to a three-way, very tight race for attorney general between my favorite, Zephyr Teachout, Congressman Sean Patrick Maloney, who should just stay put in Congress, and the New York City public advocate, Letitia James. So we'll talk with Howie about some of that and more when he joins us in a few minutes. But first, we'll take a quick break. We'll check in with Brad and Desi in the Green News Report. I'm Nicole Sandler at NicoleSandler.com and on the Progressive Voices Network. Today, not really on YouTube. Sorry about that.
It's Thursday, September 13, 2018.
Even if you've ridden out storms before.
What?
This one is different.
Officials warn Hurricane Florence could knock out power for weeks.
Hopefully everyone in the Philippines is aware of what is heading their way.
10 million people are also in the path of Super Typhoon Manghut. Amid all of that, Trump administration moves to make it easier for oil and gas companies to release methane. Plus,
climate change is moving faster than we are.
United Nations chief warns of dangerous tipping point on climate change.
All of those tipping points and more straight ahead From BradBlog.com, I'm Brad Friedman.
And I'm Desi Doyen.
Stand by for 6 minutes of independent green news, politics, analysis, and snarky comment.
We are totally prepared. We're as ready as anybody's ever been.
Does he even know what a hurricane is?
It's tremendously big and tremendously wet.
Nailed it. This is your Green News Report. Okay, Desi Doyen, 10 million Americans now in the path of Hurricane Florence, and another 10 million Filipinos in the path of the even larger super typhoon Manghut.
Yes, it's looking pretty dangerous out there.
Climate change is going very well.
As we go to air, monster Hurricane Florence is still on track to hit the East Coast as a major storm and is forecast to stall, dumping potentially historic rainfall. No matter where Florence ultimately makes landfall, its broad geographic footprint will bring destructive winds, dangerous storm surge, and many days of relentless rain, triggering potentially historic coastal and inland flooding. Floodwaters will be a toxic soup of chemicals and waste. State officials are warning residents in its path that it could take days or weeks to restore many essential services like electricity, water, sewers, roads, and communications.
Well, if it makes you feel any better, only 2 of the 12 nuclear reactors that are in the path of the storm are the exact same model as those that failed in Fukushima.
That does not make me feel better.
Sorry.
Hurricane Florence is only 1 of 9 active or potential tropical cyclones simultaneously churning around the northern hemisphere, and it's not even the strongest one. In the western Pacific, Category 5 super typhoon Manghut is bearing down on the Philippines and Hong Kong. According to veteran meteorologist Guy Walton on a recent broadcast, this simultaneous storm activity in both the Atlantic and the Pacific is very rare and consistent with what we'd expect to see with global warming.
With the ocean heat content rising and atmospheric content rising, I do believe that you will get more potential energy for more storms. As you get more heat, you will get more storms, and that's exactly what we're seeing.
At the White House this week, President Donald Trump asserted that the federal government is ready to respond to Florence, and then he inexplicably boasted about last year's botched response to Hurricane Maria in Puerto Rico, in which ultimately nearly 3,000 U.S. citizens died.
I actually think it was one of the best jobs that's ever been done with respect to what this is all about. I think that Puerto Rico was an incredible unsung success.
Maybe there's a reason people are unsinging it, Mr. President.
Also this week, new documents show that earlier this summer, the administration diverted $10 million from FEMA operations to the ICE immigrant detention program.
Well, priorities.
Meanwhile, in a victory for the oil and gas industry, the administration this week proposed lifting Obama-era restrictions limiting the release of potent climate-warming methane gas from oil and natural gas drilling on the public's lands. Health experts warn the rollback will increase hazardous air pollution, and allowing drillers to waste far more natural gas through flaring and venting also means they'll get to pay less in royalties to the public.
And again, this announcement comes in the same week that Hurricane Florence is barreling towards the East Coast.
And on the same day, the Secretary General of the United Nations, Antonio Guterres, issued a dire warning.
Climate change is moving faster than we are. If we do not change course by 2020, we risk missing the point where we can avoid runaway climate change with disastrous consequences for people and all the natural systems that sustain us.
Guterres also challenged fossil fuel industry propaganda that tackling climate change could harm economic growth.
This is hogwash. In fact, the opposite is true. There is nothing to lose from acting. There is everything to gain.
Everything to gain, unless you're in the coal or oil industry or happen to be one of the many politicians who benefit from all of their campaign cash. For much more on today's stories and the ones we couldn't get to, please check out our website at greennews.bradblog.com. Don't forget, you can download our reports anytime via Stitcher, TuneIn, or iTunes. Find us, follow us, and share us worldwide on the Facebooks and the Twitters at Green News Report. I'm Brad Friedman.
And I'm Desi Doyen.
And this has been your Green News Report.
I'm going to clean up the mess I made. Maybe it's not too late. Maybe it's not too late.
Can't afford a monthly donation? Is that what's getting you down, Bunky? But maybe you shop on Amazon.com occasionally?
Well then, just use the NicoleSandler.com Amazon portal and we'll get a small commission on all your purchases.
But I just bought...
Don't worry, we can't see what you bought.
Just bookmark Amazon through the NicoleSandler.com portal and use it. Every purchase helps Nicole stay on the air.
Are you a multinational corporation hungry for a treat? Well, come on down to Schmucky Chucky's, where you'll personally be seated by Chuck Schumer himself.
So many dishes, and they're all fresh.
You're gonna love our Blue Dog special, the Dino Burger, because we say so.
A good hamburger and french fries.
And every burger comes with a side order of...
grits. I love grits. I love anything with corn. It's corn.
All for only $50,000. Wash it all down with a Dirty Debbie.
9/10 water, 1/10 orange juice. After a week or two, you drink this, it's 200 calories and it's acetic.
And wipe your mouth with a tissue print of Glass-Steagall. For dessert, try our DNC tarts.
Little cookies, tell the quality of that.
Most restaurants give you a mint, but at Schmucky Chucky's, you get complimentary.
Sweet and low.
Who picks up the tab for all this? Find out now with Howie Klein of DownWithTyranny.com on The Nicole Sandler Show.
All right. We seem to have gotten rid of the gremlins that have invaded our YouTube stream, and YouTube seems to be working now. And it is Thursday, so that means Howie Klein of Down With Tyranny and the Blue America Pack is with us. Hey, Howie.
Hi, Nicole. You frightened me with this gremlin thing.
There was a weird thing. You know, I send out a bunch of different streams. One goes to my regular audio stream and to my TuneIn channel. One goes to Progressive Voices, who airs the program a few hours later. And one goes out to YouTube. For some reason, there was this music playing on YouTube that I couldn't hear. It wasn't coming through my console or anything, but listeners were all saying there's this music playing. And sure enough, I figured it out. It was the video that I had downloaded that I was going to play the, I don't even recall what it was called, what we were going to play last week. Let me see if I can find what I wrote down about it.
I know what you think about, but no one else does.
Right.
I'm going to be a total mess today for anything that's specific like that, because my doctor has me on a new drug and I'm totally stoned out of my mind.
Oh my.
I can barely walk or think.
Oh no.
I definitely can't drive my car, that's for sure. I wouldn't even attempt it.
Well, that's good. So stay put today. I hope everything's all right.
Yeah, it should be. It's some kind of crazy painkiller.
Oh boy. Okay, well, enjoy it if you can.
I am. The funny thing is, I am enjoying it.
Good. Yeah, you know, we should all get a day when we can just relax on doctor-prescribed drugs for us.
Yes, as long as I don't get addicted to it.
Yes, well, hopefully you won't have to take it for too long.
Right.
So
I won't.
All right, so let's talk about New Hampshire had their primary on Tuesday, and were there any surprises there?
In terms of who got nominated, there weren't really surprises.
Mm-hmm.
The entire New Hampshire Democratic establishment was definitely behind the guy who won. So he had endorsements from, you know, everyone in politics practically, and his name is Chris Pappas, and he's okay. You know, he's not. I don't think he's like totally great, but I'm not complaining. we'll see. You know, I'm willing to give this guy a chance. There was some, you know, fiery progressives that were running, but they didn't really have a shot. It was really between him and someone who was pretty terrible, and he beat the terrible person.
Even though
the terrible person had raised $1 million more. I think he raised like 800,000, and the terrible person raised 1.8 million.
Wow.
And the terrible person, I never spoke to, but I saw that the terrible person was endorsed by a lot of other terrible people, so that's what helped me to figure it out. And Pappas was, you know, like I said, Pappas is good. So in none of the races was there anything, any surprises. But the reason that it's an important thing to look at is because of who voted. Now remember, we're talking about the first congressional district. So the first congressional district is it's a swing district, but lately, it has leaned a little bit Republican. Trump beat Hillary there, although narrowly, but he did win in New Hampshire. The state, the other district was strong enough for Hillary so that the state went Democratic. But, you know, it's always a little bit concerning when, a district that Obama won twice was won by Trump. And the PVI is R+2. So R+2 means a Democrat should have trouble there. To win that seat, and it makes it a likely Republican win, but this time that doesn't matter. I mean, the Democrats are going to take all the R+1, R+2, R+3, R+4. They're going to take all those seats.
Mm-hmm.
So, but an indication of that was the turnout. So, who voted in the Democratic primary and who voted in the Republican primary? 62,000 and change voted in the Democratic Party. So keep that in mind. Over 62,000.
Right.
For the Republican primary, it was only 47 and change. So that's a big difference.
Yeah.
So is that going to impact the actual election in November? Most likely it will, because Democratic enthusiasm is a big factor in the coming midterms. And this is just another race that showed that. Now, that doesn't mean it happens in every single race, that the Democrats beat the Republicans. But we're talking about a fairly even district, leaning a little bit Republican. And the more Democrats came out to vote than Republicans, significantly more. I mean, that's a big margin between 47 and 62. So that was the reason that I was interested in the results, rather than who won. I'm glad that the bad person didn't win, so that's good. And Pappas, we'll see. Now, another interesting thing that probably a lot of people already know is that if Pappas wins, he's going to be the first openly gay person to ever represent New Hampshire in Congress.
Wow.
Interestingly enough, the Republican, if he wins, he's going to be the first openly Black person to ever represent
New Hampshire
in Congress.
Wow.
But it's not likely he's going to win. He's a mainstream conservative. This guy Eddie, can't remember his last name, and he mainstream conservative, so not insane. And he beat like a crackpot Trump lunatic. So I'm not saying he's a moderate. I'm not saying he's a liberal or anything like that. He's a mainstream conservative. He's what a conservative is. And then, Trump has these neo-fascists running around who are just, scary, crazy. And the neo-fascists lost.
Good. So, good indications. And Eddie Edwards is his name.
Yeah, that's right. Eddie Edwards. I was thinking Eddie, but it couldn't be Eddie.
Close. Very close. So now today, New York goes back to the polls. This is their second one. The first primary was for federal elections, for the Senate.
That was in June, yes.
You know, for Congress and such. And today, they're voting on the statewide offices, governor, lieutenant governor, attorney general, and comptroller.
Yeah. And there are, there are some really, really excellent candidates, and there were some really bad candidates. By the way, aside from those top of the ticket races, like governor and, I don't know if you mentioned, did you mention attorney general? That's a big one as well.
Attorney general, yep.
But aside from that, there's also the state senate.
Yes.
Which is an interesting situation because in New York, it's overwhelmingly Democratic.
Mm-hmm.
The Democrats have a gigantic majority in the assembly. And in the state senate, there are enough Democrats to vote and caucus with the Republicans so that the state Senate is not a democratically controlled state Senate. It's kind of a weird thing that they've worked out there between these very, very conservative Democrats who support the Republicans and the Republicans, so that there'll be a Republican or a conservative Democrat who's running the show. So it's a really bad situation. And that has a lot to do with Cuomo, who has encouraged that, because what it does is it keeps, you know, really good progressive legislation off his desk. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he doesn't want to be the one who says no to, you know, for example, Medicare for All.
Right.
So if it could be kept off his desk because the state Senate doesn't pass it, then he's in a good position. This is a similar thing in California, but in New York it's a much worse ingrained thing. In California it's just, you know, Jerry Brown will call the Speaker of the Assembly and say to him, hey, keep this off my desk, and then they'll table it somehow.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can't do that in the state Senate because the state Senate is run by progressives in California, and they pass good bills, and then it gets killed in the Assembly, where they have all these, what they call the mod squad, which is an inappropriate word because they're assuming that these people are moderates when they're extremely right-wing Democrats, mm-hmm. the worst of the worst. They're very corrupt. They take money from Exxon, and they are really Republicans who pretend to be Democrats, who are from very Republican areas, like in the Central Valley, and they make believe they're Democrats. They get elected as Democrats, and then right after they get elected, they're Republicans. Calling themselves Democrats. Anyway, New York has the same situation. I think there were nine or ten seats in the state Senate that are up, mostly IDC seats. Those are the conservatives, and there are really good challengers this time.
Good.
So you know, Blue America has supported some of these races: Jessica Ramos, Blake Morris, Alexandra Biaggi, Rachel May. These are great candidates. And, you know, usually we look in these legislative races, we're looking for people who are going to do a good job, of course, as state legislators, but who will also be someone who strengthens the Democratic bench for higher offices. And the people who I just mentioned, you know, like Alexandra Biaggi, I mean, I expect her in the future to be running for higher office, either
right.
a federal office or a higher state office. But the race that most people are who would be listening to us are concentrating on would probably be Attorney General.
Yep.
Because it's a very important race. We've got Zephyr Teachout, mm-hmm. who's running against, you know, just an establishment hack or several establishment hacks, one of whom is really, really bad. I mean, it's a very interesting race. Sean Patrick Maloney mm-hmm. is one of the worst Democrats in the House. He's really bad. Of all of the new Dems who didn't join the Blue Dogs, he's the one that's got the worst voting record. He votes with the Republicans more than any other new Dem. And he's also corrupt. He does all of his fundraising from a hedge fund office. He's very,
wow.
very bad. And he gets away with a lot because people say, well, he can't be that bad. He's gay. And that's the silliest thing
that's
I've ever heard.
Right.
You know, that kind of identity politics is so disgusting. You know, he's gay, so he's got to be somewhat good. Well, no, he's good on gay issues.
Right.
Absolutely.
Uh-huh.
You know, he's good on, like, you know, women issues too. But it's when as soon as you get to any kind of economic bread and butter issues, he is a Republican. You know, when it comes to gay issues, oh, yes, you know, go right to Patrick Maloney. He's wonderful.
Right. Now, he has a pretty safe congressional seat that he's giving up.
No,
it's not?
No, it's not, actually.
Ah.
No, it's actually a swingy kind of district.
Okay.
He, you know, he's in it now. He got reelected a couple of times. And but the thing is, if he were to win the attorney general seat, that would mean we would probably wind up losing that congressional seat. Which is really terrible. I mean,
that's
really,
horrible.
Really terrible of him to do that. He's such a horrible person. Don't get me started, or I'll just start cursing now.
Now, on Down with Tyranny, you talked about the race and who was endorsed by whom, and you said no one endorsed Maloney, not a single one of his congressional colleagues, just one national gay organization, a gay version of Emily's List.
Yeah, that's right. You know, I mean, when he, this is a guy who's working with all of the, you know, all these congressmen and congresswomen, and not one of them endorsed him. That's kind of horrifying when you think about it.
Yeah.
And, you know, and Zephyr got lots and lots of endorsements from, you know, the progressive wing of the Democratic Party, what you like to call the Democratic wing of the Democratic Party, from Working Families Party and Our Revolution. Bernie endorsed her very, very loudly. So there's that, and the New York Times endorsed her, the New York Daily News endorsed her. So there is, you know, there is something there. Now, Cuomo dragged his own person. And Cuomo, the one thing that he doesn't want is Zephyr Teachout.
Sure.
Like, he's petrified that she's going to become attorney general and cut down his corruption or get him on corruption. He's literally one of the most corrupt governors in the country. Hmm. He is just horrible when it comes to that. And, oh, yes, he's a Democrat. And a lot of people think that Democrats are not as corrupt as Republicans, and that's absurd. That is absurd. When you get to these conservative Democrats, these status quo type machine Democrats, they are just as corrupt as Republicans. They're all in it for the same thing.
Sure.
You know, when you get to people who are in politics because they want to make the world better and they want to do things that are going to be helpful to the country, you know, someone like Bernie, you know, then they're in it for issues. But when you get to these establishment types, even if they start off that way, they don't last that way very, very long. They very, very quickly start being able to rationalize why they're cheating a little bit, and then a little bit more, and then a little bit more, and then the whole career just becomes about that and nothing else. And I've come around, in fact, to want something that I've always been against, which is term limits, because these long terms of people who are in there for decades, they all eventually, not all, but most of them eventually become corrupt, and that includes Democrats, not just Republicans.
Sure.
So let me just say, Republicans may be worse, but there are Democrats who are just as bad, and Cuomo is one of them. And Zephyr Teachout, there is no one as good as her when it comes to sniffing out and going after corruption. She, as people say, she's the one that wrote the book, and she can do it. So he's so scared that she's going to win, you know, because he's probably going to win, and he's so scared that she'll win that he brought in his own candidate, and you know, so he got lots and lots of other, you know, people in New York are afraid of him, so he used that fear to get lots and lots of endorsements for his candidate as well, who's just, you know, basically nothing.
But apparently those are the three that are, there's a fourth one who's not doing anything in the polls, but it seems to be like a three-way race between Zephyr Teachout, and Sean Patrick Maloney and this one, Letitia James, right?
That's right. And, you know, no one wants to attack Letitia James basically because she's African-American, and if you attack an African-American candidate, you must be a racist. And the fact of the matter is no one is complaining about her for being African-American.
Mm-hmm.
People are complaining about her. She's a hack.
Right.
I mean, that's it. It's a hack politician. And she's a complete, total, 100% puppet of Cuomo. And if you want the attorney general to just, you know, take her orders from Cuomo, then, you know, you vote for her.
Right.
But Zephyr Teachout, if she wins this one, it'll be so unbelievable. It would just be amazing. It would be, you know, to me, that would be the crowning achievement of the week.
Absolutely. And plus, she'd be the one then to take up the slack and maybe work with the Southern District of New York on some of the Trump stuff. For instance, if Trump decides to pardon people, he can only pardon people in federal cases, not in state cases. She can bring state cases.
She can, and she would. But to be honest with you, I feel she, although she'd be the best at it because she's the smartest, but I feel that the other two candidates would do the same.
Oh, really?
You know, when it comes to being anti-Trump, every Democrat is anti-Trump. So although Trump might be able to buy off a guy like Sean Patrick Maloney, I'm sure he would. But generally speaking, the other candidates are going to go after Trump as well. But Zephyr would be the best at it. But when it comes to the corruption at home, the New York Democratic machine, and Cuomo and his cronies, none of them would touch that. It's only Zephyr who would go after that. All of them will go after Trump.
Okay. Well, Zephyr Teachout, I mean, I've been a fan of hers for years. We talked about this last week. I would love to see her get this. It would be the greatest thing ever. And again, the polling is so close on the three of them. It really is. It could be any of them.
Yeah. I mean, my fears there are just the New York city machine. Mm-hmm. So I feel that she's going to probably win upstate again, like she did when she ran for governor. Mm-hmm. She'll do well up there. But in Brooklyn, in the Bronx, in Queens, the Democratic Party there, they'll just say, how many votes do you need? And they'll certify that number of votes.
Yeah.
And that's been going on for a really long time, and it's very scary.
Wow.
So that's what frightens me about this. But we'll see. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe that's not what's going to happen.
Polls close at 9 o'clock tonight in New York, so I guess it'll be a late night. So we'll wait.
See that. Here, and I'll be on my computer watching the polls come in and sending out nasty tweets.
Good. Yeah, it's only 6 o'clock there when polls close at 9 o'clock in New York, so you can be up for a while longer.
Unless I pass out gabapentinum.
Now, Howie Klein, you've got a piece, Ed Down with Tyranny, and it's How to Be a Dickhead by Donald J. Trumpanzee. But I'm guessing you actually
wrote
this. I did very much.
We just made an incredible meme out of those seven rules that Donald Trump runs his life by.
Yes.
So I think that everyone who reads Down with Tyranny will be seeing that over and over and over again. I plan to use that all the time. It's just so amazing that this is the way this guy runs his life. And it's not like we're just learning this for the first time.
Mm-hmm.
We all knew this before he got elected. And the fact that, you know, that there were people that didn't understand that is really frightening to me. I mean, why not? I mean, you just look at this guy. You just watch this guy. You hear this guy talk. If you have them in front of you?
Yes. Want me to share them? Easy.
Please.
Okay. So these are the Trump rules of life and leadership. Number one is your brand should piss someone off. The worst thing you can be is milquetoast bland. He wants some people to have a viscerally negative response to him and what he's doing because he bets that's going to harden support on the other side. Okay.
And there's always a thing in New York. I mean, he and I grew up around the same time. He's
mm-hmm.
a few years older than me. But there was always this thing that any publicity is good for you.
Mm-hmm.
Even if it's negative publicity, if you're in the papers, if you're on TV, if they're saying things about you and people are talking about you, even if it's bad, it's better. I mean, it's better to be good, but it's better to get bad publicity than no publicity.
Wow.
And that is what Trump is and
mm-hmm.
how that's how he built his brand.
Yep.
He had plenty of bad publicity, but
absolutely.
He built his brand getting publicity.
Okay.
Remember, he used to make believe he was his own publicist.
Yeah, John Barron or something like that. He'd call people, and there's tape of it out there. I mean, you can find it, and it's
sure.
definitely him tooting his own PR horn. All right, number two says, crisis is a powerful weapon. Fire it indiscriminately. Forget planning, a source said. Wake up every morning, survey the battlefield, let your gut instinct lead you to a crisis to exploit. Bet that no one else can thrive in the chaos the way you can. Ratchet up the pressure until everyone else's pipes burst. Yep.
You know, and that could work in the real estate industry, and it did work for him in the real estate industry. But do we want that to work for the president? Is that
No.
what the president of the United States should be betting his strategy on? I mean, to me, that is very, very scary. And that is how he's running the presidency.
Yes.
Like, chaos wins.
Yeah, and foreign policy.
And what is brought about is ultimate dysfunction. I mean, this is the most dysfunctional presidency in the country's history.
Yeah. Yeah. I agree. The number three of Trump's rules of life, you can create your own truth, just keep repeating it. We see that play out on a daily basis.
Yeah, well, that was not only Trump's code of life, it was also Goebbels. I mean, that was
mm-hmm.
called the big lie.
Yep.
Just repeat, repeat, and repeat
yep.
until people then feel it's true. And you get, others who have a big platform to say the same thing, and they parrot it and mimic it, and he's got Trump TV, also known as Fox.
That's right.
And then people don't know what to believe and what not to believe. They hear it over and over again, and they think, well, it doesn't sound reasonable, but I've heard it so many times. It must
That's
be
right.
true.
Yep. And this goes along with it. Number four, accuse the accuser. A source who spent hundreds of hours working with Trump puts it this way. He has a history of accusing people of whatever he's being accused of. Collusion? Democrats colluded on the dossier. Blue wave, red wave coming. This is what he does. And both of these, too, go along with the gaslighting. He makes things up. He repeats them ad nauseum and tells you you're crazy if you disagree.
Right. So now he's going to have to face, you know, some of that bullshit not being true. For example, when the red wave, there is no red yeah. wave, there's an anti-red wave. And then what does he do? So there's, you know, and then he'll say, they must have stolen the election. Or the Democrats got Putin to help them.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Number five, fear Trump's friendship. Trump wants his inferiors to fear him and hold him in awe. He likes watching them duke it out in front of him. And we've heard those stories as well.
Yes, he loves that. That's how he raised his children. That's how he runs his life. That's how he raises his women. He loves to have people fighting. That's his thing.
Yeah.
Horrible, horrible person.
He really is. Number six, loyalty trumps talent. Case in point, Michael Cohen. No serious person would employ Michael Cohen as their personal attorney, a point Trump has belatedly acknowledged himself. But as Cohen used to say, he'd take a bullet for Donald Trump. Oops.
Exactly.
And then the last one, never admit you are or did wrong. And this we've seen ad nauseum. Trump's Me Too advice per Bob Woodward's book Fear, you've got to deny and push back on these women. If you admit to anything and any culpability, then you're dead.
Yep. And again, the fact that this is how he thinks American relationships with our allies and others on the international stage should be run is just frightening. Everybody in who's in government now is on pins and needles, mm-hmm. Because of this lunatic, and no one knows what to expect. And, you know, I don't have that much sympathy for the Republicans who are working for him, but sometimes I think, wow, I mean, that's a pretty hard job these guys have taken on.
No kidding. So now you wrote in that piece that you still haven't bought a copy of Fear, but you plan to for a plane ride to Istanbul. You planning on going to Istanbul soon?
Yeah. And I did get the when I wrote it, I didn't have the copy yet, but now I do.
Okay. Yeah, that's one that I'm going to have to break down and get, because that's one I'll read. Like I said, I got stuck in Fear and Fury about a third of the way through. I couldn't deal with it anymore because it was too unsettling. Because part of it was because of Michael Wolff doesn't have the best reputation, and there were some things that were questionable as to whether they really happened or not. Bob Woodward is a bit more of a credible source, although not entirely, but definitely more
really
credible.
Not
Yeah, well, he's had problems along the ways, but he's kind of, you know, he's a Republican. To me, I always see him as very right-leaning, but I do trust him. I believe that if he's going to put something in his book, then he's done the homework to confirm the facts more so than Michael Wolff. This one just seems like it's more credible than the others that have come before it.
How about Omarosa?
That one I did not read. No. I always wait for the videos to come out. I'm waiting to see if she's actually got anything good on video or audio, because the stuff she's released so far it just makes me wonder about her mental acuity.
Yeah, she is entertaining, though. It's like she's turning all of Trump's tricks on him, which I love, and I'm sure it drives him insane.
Oh, yeah, she learned well from him. Look, I'm glad she did what she did. But I don't trust her. She was a liar from the get-go. She was, birds of a feather. She reminds me of Trump. But
for the Trump supporters who see this whole thing as a reality TV show, and who don't worry about it because, you know, nothing ever bad really happens on reality TV. She's just a character in this show, and they love it. I mean, they, you know, she's a villain at this point to them. But they Trump has to write her out of the next season.
I expect drama to follow her around wherever she goes. So
fabulous.
Yeah. And with that, Howie Klein, we are out of time again. Feel better. Enjoy the doctor prescribed pain pills, but I hope you don't need them much longer.
Me too.
Okay. Thank you so much, Howie Klein. We'll talk to you next week.
Bye-bye, Nicole.
Bye-bye. All right. You can find Howie Klein, of course, at downwithtyranny.com and the Blue America PAC, where they support all these great progressive candidates who are, running for office, the ones that we need to get in. And I think we'll do pretty good this time out. With that, we are out of time. Thank you for listening. Tomorrow, we delve into the big crash of 10 years ago. We'll talk to you then.